Purpose Projects.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Purpose Projects, the podcast where we talk about good people doing good business. And once again, we have another episode with an awesome international purpose project. And as always, by my side, Moritz. Hey, Moritz.
Hey, Boris. You said it right. Another international episode, but actually this time it's double the fun because today we will talk to two incredible guests. With us are Adrián y Marte, founders of Deserto. Deserto is a Mexican company that makes leather, but made out of cactus. You guys heard it right. It's leather made out of cactus.
That's correct.
Best thing is, they're highly sustainable, plant-based, vegan, biodegradable, and they're made without any toxical chemicals. In near future, it shouldn't be a big surprise if you see these guys and their cactus leather used by the big companies all over the world, especially by big fashion brands. In this episode, we will learn all about their business, the measures they take to be sustainable, and yeah, all the way from Mexico, bienvenidos, Adrián y Marte.
Hi, thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you so much for the invitation, both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here, guys. Greetings to Mexico also from my side. Let's kick things off maybe quite real easy. Where are you guys at the moment and what part of your day are we actually disrupting?
We are located in Guadalajara City in Mexico. This is where our main office is located at. And it's great to have the opportunity to talk to you about what we are doing here with in hand by hand with nature to solve some of the most critical problems that the fashion industry is facing nowadays.
Awesome. So just to get to know this a little bit better, maybe just go back in time for a little bit. We heard we read in our research that you two guys have a quite interesting story of how you guys met back when. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit on that and maybe also on what you did actually before you were getting involved with Deserto?
Yeah. So we both met back in 2011 when we were both living in Taiwan. We were actually Rotary Exchange students. I was first during 2008 until 2009. And then Marte went there on 2009 to 2010. So we didn't meet at the time, but we both liked Taiwan so much that we decided to go back at the same time in 2011. And that's when we eventually met because we had some common friends, which were local Taiwanese. And so it was very funny because we were wondering like how old we were because of the difference between our exchange Rotary years. And it turned out that we were born the same day, the same month, the same year, and then meeting in Taiwan and being from Rotary, it was just like a incredible to believe, right?
So that's actually unbelievable.
Yeah, we were very surprised, and the fact that we also have very similar personalities, and so we became great friends. And then Marte, he was studying Chinese there in Taiwan, and then he decided to come back to Mexico to finish his university studies in business, international business, and then eventually he jumped into the fashion industry. And I started my whole college degree in economics in Taiwan, and then after graduating, I had some work in Asia in the furniture, textile, leather industries, and then in the automotive. So I decided to come back to Mexico. It was about 3 years ago. And that's when we again met in Mexico. But it was another coincidence because Marte was already living here in Guadalajara. And when I came back to Mexico, I didn't know like where to go to live at and what to do. I just came back because I wanted to do something in my own country. And so I got a job in Guadalajara, and I knew that Marte was living here. So when I settled here, I called him and I told him, hey, I'm in town. So he asked me to share my location where I was living at. And then it turned out to be that I was living like two blocks away from his apartment. And we were like, come on. He was telling me like, dude, you are following me. And I was like, no, yeah. I'm not following you.
Yes, I still think that he's following me.
Still, 9 years later.
Yeah, I think that's just like a friendship made to be, and maybe even a business made to be. But yeah, that's actually quite a lot of coincidence. So yeah, I get your point. Maybe a stalker.
Yeah,
lucky for him. So the thing is that then at that time we were both working on other companies, and we always gather like two times a week or three times a week to talk about our jobs and everything. And we both had this idea of doing our own business, founding our own company in different things, but we had common experience in the fashion, in the automotive, the use of leather, of textiles, the environmental impact, all the challenges that these industries were facing. So we just said, hey, why don't we just like get our knowledge together and build a solution for these industries?
But that's still quite a huge gap between, yeah, let's start something new and let's research cactus and make leather. So yeah. Maybe Arjan, how did that happen? How did it work?
Well, we wanted to make a material that was plant-based that could suffice the needs of these industries, which we were familiar with. We knew the standards, so it was quite a big challenge. But so being in Mexico, the first plant that came into our mind was cactus, because I mean, it's everywhere. It's even in our national flag, in our dishes. It's part of the culture. So we thought that, well, if we can make a plant-based material out of cactus, it will be the best sustainable plant out there to use as a feedstock, because not only is very abundant in Mexico, as it is national, it is typical and native from the country, but also there is some sustainable competitive advantages that cactus offer. For instance, I mean, there are about 1,500 cactus species around the world, and Mexico has about 700 of them. And so we had to do a research within all these 700 species in Mexico to figure which one would be the best match to use in an industrial process, always taking into consideration that sustainability is not only about the plant-based content in the materials, but how do we get it? How do we grow it? What is the land use change impact? What is the biodiversity impact? So we had to take all these factors into consideration to finally narrow it to one species that we know do not require any irrigation, do not require any herbicides or pesticides or fertilizers like in the agro industry. Most important, acquiring it from a region where it is native from. So instead of deforesting the fields to grow some specific crop, we are actually using land that was previously used for cultivations like corn, which are definitely not native from there. And then we forest them with the cactus. And because it's native, it just grows so fast, and it starts to enrich the microflora, the microfauna of the soil. It blends with the wild flora and fauna as well. So it is just like regenerating the environment in that region and getting all these benefits from it, not only in terms of adding value, because, you know, cactus, it is true that cactus is part of our diet here in Mexico, traditional diet, to be more specific, but the food industry pays too low for it. So every year we lose hundreds of acres of cactus plantations because the farmers don't find it interesting anymore. And with our technology transfer, we are able to process the raw material in such a way that it is much more attractive, not only for the food industry, but useful for our industry. So all the remains of our process are even exported to Europe and Asia for them to make like dietary supplements and brewing beer. And so it's a win-win for everybody.
Yes, and cactus also is a lot more just than a national symbol to Mexico. It has the potential to generate thousands and thousands of jobs and turn global industry upside down. So thanks to its natural hygroscopic system, it only needs about 200 liters of water to grow without using any chemicals or fertilizers to create 1 kilogram of biomass. And in contrast, another plant needs about 1,000 liters to create the same kilogram, but using a lot of herbicides or pesticides. So it is critical to pay attention to where our raw materials come from and how are they produced and which impact they have on the biodiversity in the environment.
Yeah, it's actually pretty amazing, guys, that you figured out a way to or how to turn the cactus, as you mentioned, as a really important symbol of Mexican national identity into basically a perfect cactus-based leather and, as of today, a real alternative to regular leather. So my next question would be, what is the importance of purpose, actually, for your company? Would you say that you are purpose-driven?
Yeah, 100%. Our main values are all based around sustainability. Sustainability addresses ethical practices, economic practices that are fair trade, of course, within it. Also about environmental and care, and also the safety of all people working along the value chain. That's why we are very careful with which kind of feedstocks we work with. Like, for example, in some of the materials we use, we incorporate recycled fibers, like recycled cotton or recycled polyester, which comes from waste, from landfills or from the ocean. So in that sense, besides creating biodegradable materials with cactus, we also do a material mix in a responsible way in which we are further contributing to reduce the waste accumulation in the planet. So we are here for helping the industries, not only the fashion industry, but now also we're working very seriously within the automotive industry to help them reach their goals in terms of sustainability. We know that these industries have been operating outside of the planetary boundaries for years, and it is just not sustainable because the industries are growing, the population is increasing, and so if we don't do something about it right now and reduce the natural resources that are used and decrease the accumulation of waste that accumulated, it is just not going to be viable for the industries to keep growing, and not unless it's going to have serious impacts in our lives. I mean, I think that the virus, the actual situation, it's a reminder that we are running out of time, and we really have to take this seriously because, I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the tanning industry, the leather industry.
We are now after our research, of course. But yeah, why don't you tell our listeners who, of course, have not been reading into tanning of leather, of maybe why leather is actually even bad for our environment?
There is a lot of misinformation out there. Like, for example, it is argued that the leather industry is just rescuing a waste from the food industry, which is the skin of the animal, and converting it into a useful product. But from a non-vegan point of view, this is valid. If it wasn't for the huge amount of toxic and noxious chemicals that are used in the tanning industry, we know that, I mean, they use heavy metals like chrome. 80% to 85% of the leather around the world is tanned with chrome. And even in the most sophisticated tanneries, it is almost impossible to recover or claim back all those toxic substances that are used in the process. So these are discarded to the environment. And most people working in the tanneries, like in Bangladesh, India, even in Mexico, they don't have the proper safety equipment. So they are in constant touch with these substances, which affects its health. And so many people think that it is because it comes from animals. They are recovering something that would be otherwise a waste, and that it's biodegradable. But the truth is that after tanned with all these toxic chemicals, it is not biodegradable. And there is a huge environmental footprint beyond what the animals consume in terms of land. Because, for example, in the Amazon, as a size of the United Kingdom in the Amazon is lost every year because they have to deforest in order to ranch cattle all the animals. So, and then you have to consider all the water, the food, and then add on top of that all the toxic chemistry that has to be applied to make leather. And so we are convinced that, I mean, we have to find a way to reduce all this environmental impact while keeping the same performance of the materials, the quality. It's all about responsible innovation and yeah, and maximizing the efficiency of these industries.
Yes, and we know that this industry, that the fashion industry or even the automotive industry, won't stop. It will never stop. So this industry is one of the most important economic engines of the world, but it is also one of the main negative contributors to environmental and social impacts along its value chain. For example, in waste accumulation, biodiversity harm, and water intensive use and chemical use in respect to animal and fossil material. So we create a solution that complies with all the rigorous quality and environmental standards of all the industries without the necessity of killing animals or using or the toxic plastics. So this is a solution for the industry to keep growing as fast as it is, but in a green way.
Yeah, you guys are really convincing. Cactus leather, when we hear you guys talk, I think Boris and I are just asking ourselves, yeah, why isn't it that widespread in the world yet? Quick question. You guys right now are not producing products for the end consumers. You guys are strictly B2B. So you guys are working with the fashion brands or with the automotive industry.
For now.
How far have you come with this strategy? And do you think you guys are going to change that in near future?
Yeah. Well, the first strategy, of course, is to put at their disposal all these materials that we're generating so they can reduce their environmental impact. I mean, we are convinced that by working together with global brands, which are the main players in the industries and the ones that most likely will have the highest negative impact on the environment, if they start to replace their current materials with sustainable materials like ours, then our goals are going to be reached faster instead of building our own brand and trying to restrict our material only for us. We want to share this with everybody. Actually, we even invest in a stock in our company in which there is no MOQ, there is no minimum ordered quantity. So every designer, every emerging brand, every student, everybody can purchase 1 meter, 2 meters, and they can create their own pieces of products with this sustainable material, because it is also not only the job of the big corporations, but it is also, we are the new generations and we are the ones that are going to drive these industries in the next years. So we want to give these tools to all these younger generations to get used to know that they have a sustainable material to work with right from the get-go. And it is not only restricted to those companies that can afford to pay large quantities of materials, etc. And so we have been investing also in developing our own brand because we wanted to be like the flag of what our material represents. We want to set the example out there to say, hey, like we are changing fashion not only from the material aspect, but also it can, having a final product can serve as a guideline to show that sustainable fashion is possible and that the market is ready for it. I think that it is there is a lot of work to be done in terms of communication and having growing this consciousness on the consumer side, but it is ready in most places, especially in Europe. People are already demanding these sustainable alternatives because, it has to spread everywhere.
Yes, and for example, if we focus in the fashion brand, we won't make a huge impact. And what we want to do is make it very, very big to make a real change to the world. So if we together use sustainable materials and adopt ethical practices, we will be able to help through the fashion industry to build a better world. But this is all of us, not just us. So that's why we keep in sharing all these materials with everybody.
Something important to mention, a parenthesis, is that our materials are designed and offered in such a way that it is scalable and viable to be incorporated into production lines. Our prices vary from 16 to 48, 50 US dollars. It really depends on the degrees of specialization of the material that we are offering and for which kind of application. But if you think about it, we are covering some part of the synthetic world of materials all the way to premium animal leather. So in that sense, we can make it there is no excuse. For a designer to say, wow, it's like there is no minimum and the price is like the same as buying a piece of a PVC or animal hide. And so in that sense, the material, of course, is 98% usable because there are no uneven surfaces like in animal hide. Like you will find scars and some areas that you cannot work with and you have to cut them and discard them. Actually, there is a general rule of thumb that about 60% to 70% of a hide is waste because it is just not... the aspect doesn't allow it to be used in a final product in the premium industry, of course. So in that sense, there is also a reduction of waste in the actual production lines.
You guys are mentioning a lot of really great and interesting points. Going back to maybe one specific point, you just mentioned the growing demand, especially in Europe, of such sustainable products. Do you, for people maybe who don't have a real understanding or a clue of how big the vegan leather market actually is, do you have some exemplary numbers that you can throw at us to gather an understanding how this shift is taking place, or maybe it's not taking place at such a huge scale as of right now? What trends are you witnessing in that sphere?
Well, the trend of the vegan leather is not new. I mean, it has been in the market for years ago, but now in 2020, so the market said that from now to the next 5 years, so the industry will keep growing 50% of the vegan leather industry. So in 5 years, this new industry could value about 90 billions of US dollars. So in a future, it can be a really, really nice player in the textiles and in the leather market.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge market, actually. Yeah. And you just mentioned you're working with SMEs, so small and medium enterprises. But of course, to make bigger impact, bigger brands or big corporations. We talked a lot about fashion in the last couple of minutes. Can you also maybe give some insights on maybe other industries which are interesting for you guys? Boris and I, for example, in our brainstorming, we thought about McDonald's. They have like a lot of leather seats.
Yeah.
They could be a Deserto partner and you would have a huge impact on the entire world. Are those the brand corporations or the brand brands you're looking for at the moment?
Absolutely, yes. Actually, we do have furniture-grade materials, and we have been talking to some food chain companies, especially here in Mexico. They are evaluating the material. Actually, the material has satisfied so far their necessities in terms of like resistance and not only to abrasion, but also, you know, like catsup and all these sauces and food, soda, etc. We have the technology to cover all those quality necessities. And it will be actually very interesting now that you mention it, because, I mean, we have, for instance, the vegan meat, you know, quote, that it's already replacing like burgers that are made with meat, and now they are using all these vegan alternatives. And I mean, the whole, many industries are already shifting; they are transforming. So for us, it will be great. We are always like open to work with all these companies. For example, when we launched our materials last year in Italy, we were contacted by the automotive OEMs. And then the automotive OEMs, not only from Europe, but also North America and Asia, they were very interested in our material. And they wonder, like, wow, it's like, if we can make a material out of cactus, it is incredible, because it represents a huge saving in water and energy. Because just think about it. Like, not because we use something that is plant-based means that it is necessarily sustainable. Let's take cotton, for instance. Cotton is water intensive in the cultivations. It uses a lot of herbicides, pesticides, fertilizers, and then all this polluted water is then absorbed by the soil, and then some of it is then discarded to the rivers. So it has a huge footprint in the environment, and also in the farmers working with those substances. And then people will say, yeah, but it's cotton and it's biodegradable. Yeah, but you have to take into consideration all these other side effects. And so cactus is like no joke. It's like it grows in 6 to 8 months, one small plant to become mature to harvest, and we don't kill the plant. So we just take the mature leaves, so we enable repeated harvesting, and so the same plant is providing the raw material, is enriching the soil. And in that sense, I mean, cactus is like, just imagine, cactus is a CAM species. It means that it is a crassulation acid metabolism plant. This is different from 90% of the plants in the world, which are C3 class species. C3 are all those plants that work with a chlorophyll metabolism, working during daytime with the sunlight. Well, cactus actually operates its metabolism during nighttime. And during the early morning, it opens its stoma and it absorbs the water present in the environment, like the humidity. For example, in the morning dew, that's when it opens and absorbs the water it needs, capture it, hold it during all the day, and then during night, it starts to operate. And that's why it is a plant that is so much efficient than many other plantations. I mean, imagine that cotton could grow without irrigation. It would be fantastic. And then some farmers of cotton will argue like, oh yeah, but there is a lot of rain in this region, so we don't have to apply irrigation. Well, but they are taking one factor out of consideration, which is global warming and environment conditions change and shift. Nowadays, you know, it's the weather is changing so fast that then some areas that used to have a lot of rain are missing it, and then it is just moving so much. And the virtue of cactus is that it can grow in -2 degrees all the way to, I mean, imagine whatever you want to say in the deserts, 50, 60 degrees, 80. Not 80, but that's too much, but 60.
But what about the harvesting? So I had a very, very bad experience with a cactus, actually. I had one right in my leg. Is it hurtful to harvest these cacti?
No, it's not hard. We select a special species of cactus that is called Opuntia ficus indica, that the spikes are very, very, very soft. So you cannot, so it's not harmful for the cultures. It's really easy to harvest this plant.
Okay, how many people are currently at your company harvesting these cacti?
We actually work with the rural farms, and so there are about 30 people involved in the cactus harvesting. These, of course, these farms are USDA organic certified, and they comply also with our code of conduct, which means that there is no child labor, there are no working hours outside of what the law stipulates, there are fair salaries. And in this sense, it is very inspiring for us too, because indirectly, well, and in a big part directly, we are able to contribute to the generation of jobs out there in the fields. It is the place is called Zacatecas, and the region is Ojo Caliente, and really it's a very rural area, and it is dry, and there is not a lot of water in there. And so, I mean, in this sense, this is a good alternative for them, because this species is native from that region. So they don't need to invest like in water. They don't need to invest in expensive fertilizers or chemistry or seeds. I mean, cactus is just like you cut one leaf, that leaf you plant it, and then that leaf is going to give you many leaves, and then you cut one and plant another one. And it is, you know, one time we had this customer from Australia. We brought her to the fields, and she was shocked because it's so easy to plant it, and you don't need any special care. And she told us like, oh wow, guys, like you really like selected the best plant. The cactus is like the cockroach of the plant world.
It's just like, so it's, yeah, so it's like basically you could also say giving your cactus a haircut, right? Yeah. It just grows.
Yeah,
it just grows and grows.
It's like,
yeah,
a haircut.
Yeah, so
you guys even have a patent on your process, right? And we didn't even mention all the awards you guys are winning at the moment. I think you won most sustainable material in Munich in the international award of something. I'm sorry, I don't have all the names in my head anymore, but I know you guys have won so much. You've patented the process. This is probably the key to your success, right?
Yeah, we first started with the Mexican patent, so it was years ago, and this year we patented the worldwide one. So now we are protected in about 180 yeah, countries, and yet it is a worldwide patent in the process, and it's a patent in the material itself.
Okay, so if Boris and I are thinking of starting a business with cutting cactus or giving cactus haircuts, we would maybe have to think about a new option, right?
Yeah, it's been quite a fun journey, because I mean, we are all really committed to making a highly sustainable material, and we are very lucky to have amazing collaborations within all our value chain. I mean, we work with experts in agriculture. We work with experts in chemistry, biochemistry, nanotechnology. I mean, experts in molecular bonding, sustainability. So we have a huge team of experts that are making sure that the values of the product are taken care of. And I mean, one time we were wondering like, wow, like what if like a plague from South America comes to Mexico and attack the cactus plantations? Like then what are we gonna do? And so we have to get like prepared with natural strategies to fight back those plagues and to make sure that for any reason we will put like these toxic substances in our plantations. And I mean, our feedstock is that organic that our residues are sold to the food industry. I mean, the control is super super strict and clean, and I mean, it's not an easy job, because cactus, as I was explaining, it's hygroscopic. It means it absorbs water, so we have to be very careful with transportation, with like we have to schedule like the best days to harvest it, to process it, because if there is too much humidity in the environment, then our processes change too much, and so we need everything to be like really controlled, and that is a challenge. But so far we have been doing a great job, and so it's not an easy job to incorporate a natural organic plant raw material into an industrial process when you are making like this. For example, my jacket, this one is made of deserto. I mean, there is a whole world of things to be careful with.
Yeah, and it's important to mention that we just launched to the market 10 months ago. So last year and this year, it's been really, really crazy. Why? Because the market is demanding more and more cactus vegan leather, and we were not prepared at that moment. Now we are. So day by day, we keep working new developments for any different industry. Yes, so we start with just one material that was made for the fashion industry. And now we're involved with automotive and aeronautics and also in the footwear industry. So it's been really crazy this journey, but we love it and we won't stop working in new alternatives and more better results in this vegan leather of cactus.
Yeah, I must say, guys, it's first of all, it's awesome to listen to you, and you're not only giving out free biology lessons for all the people out there who might not know anything about cacti, but your passion really jumps off the screen, through the screen. It's no secret that we're talking through Zoom, and it's really inspiring to see two guys like you really be passionate about what they're doing. We already talked a little bit about what you guys are planning in the near-term future with deserto. What would you say with this uncertain situation right now in 2020? Nevertheless, what would you say are your most important plans or the most important outlook for your maybe mid-term or long-term future?
Well, this year we are focusing on supplying the materials to our current customers, to work in new collaborations with design schools all around the world, with designers. We are developing also specific lines, for example, Desertex, which is the line for automotive. It is quite a challenge, but so far we have been doing a great progress. There is a fun story, back in February, we were talking to one automotive company. And so we were at the time very early on our development for automotive, and they were very curious and they were excited to see the material. And so we decided to send to only this OEM some developments for the fashion industry for them, just to have a first glance of how the material looked like and how is it made, etc. And so they liked it that much that they started to do prototypes, and we told them, hey, like, remember, this isn't an automotive grade material. This is for fashion. But the prototypes looks great. I just want you to not to go ahead with the testings because we know beforehand that it is not gonna pass. We know what we're building. And so they got too optimistic and they started to test the material. They did all their critical tests and because of the quality of the material, from the get-go, we use very high quality technology and feedstocks to make it. We passed like 60% of the tests with a fashion grade material. So for the company and for us, it was great to know, because the automotive standards are very, very high. And so knowing that we were already at a 60% with our current formulations, it really encourages us to move even quicker on that line. And now we have been developing a material that it is very, very close already. Now it's just a matter of going from the general to the specific needs of each OEM to comply with the standards. And so most likely by September, October of this year, we are going to start collaborations with them. And luckily, in 2021, we can start to see some advertised prototypes of some famous brands out there with the material already in their automotive. And And so, yeah, I mean, we were working also in aeronautics, which is also a very challenging industry with great progress as well. We have some materials that are, I mean, they just don't burn. It's like, you know, it's not like fire retardant. It's just, you won't be able to burn it out. It's something crazy. And of course, we don't use like any toxic additives to achieve that, which is a challenge because we are talking about organic content. So how do you make organic content without toxic chemistry to be like fireproof? You know, it's very difficult. But I mean, there are some developments going on right there, and that's the spirit of the company. It's R&D, innovation, responsible innovation, of course, and that's how we operate.
Yeah, we're very excited to see what the future holds. Thank you to both of you for these great insights. You showed us and all our listeners how sustainability, is part of your DNA, actually. Not just of the two of you, but also of your company. That was a really nice talk. And yeah, I hope we get to see us soon here in Germany, maybe in Mexico. Maybe you can show us around on your cacti farm. And yeah, perfect.
But Moritz, you forgot to ask one last question about Mexico. Especially for you, this might be really important.
Oh man, Boris is strict with me, but I thought, I'm just looking at the time. So yeah, my last question actually just, I can ask it. It's what makes Mexico special? So I know you guys are very proud of your culture, like all Mexicans are. But what makes Mexico special in terms of sustainable business? Are you the only sustainable business around, or tell us about your culture over there?
Mexico, in terms of sustainability, I think that the most important thing to mention about it is that Mexico is very rich in natural resources. We have huge biodiversity in flora and fauna, natural resources, and there is a wave of young generations that are striving to protect this, which is the future of our country. And although the environmental or consciousness is not as developed as in other places, we think that there is a genuine interest from younger generations to change the way business and in the industrial sector is made. And I mean, that's why we are so open to collaborate with universities, with companies. You know, there is a world of work to be done in terms of educating people to make them conscious of what we have in our hands and how important is it to protect them. To protect it. And so I wouldn't presume that Mexico is a sustainable country. You know, I mean, there is still so much to be done, but there is great talent, and we have the natural resources and all this biodiversity which we have to take care of. And Yeah.
That's the perfect ending, I think. Thank you very much, and talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Adrian, Marte, thanks, guys. Next time you're in Germany, give us a call.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Boris, das war eine inspirierende Folge mit zwei tollen Mexikanern. Was ist dein erster Eindruck?
Mein erster Eindruck, sehr, sehr, sehr leidenschaftlich für die Sache, die sie machen. Also das habe ich auch gesagt. Das hat man durch den Bildschirm bei uns, also bei mir zumindest, gemerkt. Nicht nur anhand der Länge der Antworten, die sehr ausführlich und detailliert waren, aber die zwei Jungs, die brennen schon dafür, was die machen. Und ich fand es auch sehr interessant zu hören, wie das quasi aus mittelamerikanischer Sicht dieses Nachhaltigkeits- und Purpose-Thema angegangen wird. Also jetzt anhand nur an deren Beispiel, aber die haben ja auch ein bisschen was über Mexiko generell erzählt und dass es auf jeden Fall noch da viel zu tun gibt. Und für dich war es ja sowieso ein halbes Heimspiel. als alter Mexikaner.
Genau, also Hintergrund dazu, das wissen natürlich jetzt nicht alle Hörer und Hörerinnen. Ich war selber mal ein Jahr in Mexiko und habe seitdem eine Mexiko-Liebe in mir, die natürlich sofort entfacht wird, wenn ich mit den Mexikanern hier im Zoom-Call bin. Zu den beiden nochmal, ich fand das auch genauso wirklich inspirierend. Ich komme mir manchmal doof vor, weil wir irgendwie nach jeder Passage, wo die sprechen, sagen wir, oh yeah, oh, that's interesting und so weiter.
Aber ist halt einfach so, ne? Was willst du machen?
Ja, also das Geschäftsmodell von denen ist wirklich nachhaltig und auch jetzt mal im Vergleich zu anderen Purpose Projects, die wir auch hatten, schneiden die wirklich richtig gut ab. Also wenn man das bedenkt,
und nicht nur
an
den
was
Kaktus.
Die alles denken. Ja, das ist einfach ja irgendwie eine Fügung. Also allein, wie die sich schon kennengelernt haben, war ja schon verrückt. Aber auch wie die auf diese Business-Idee gekommen sind. So einfach, aber doch ja so gut und löst auch wirklich so viele Probleme. Ja, und ich bin gespannt, oder ich drücke denen echt die Daumen, dass irgendwann mal eine Firma wie Mercedes, Tesla, was auch immer, sich irgendwann dazu entscheidet, so, ach, wir hauen jetzt hier ein Sustainable Car raus und das ist alles hier Cactus Leather, das wäre wirklich der Wahnsinn.
Ja, ja, Elon Musk soll die mal auf jeden Fall anrufen. Also der Weg von ihm nach Mexiko ist nicht so weit, glaube ich, ja, aber du hast recht. Also allein schon die Geschichte, die Story, wie die sich kennengelernt haben, dass die auch noch, also das wäre schon krass genug, aber dass sie auch doch am selben Tag, also denselben Geburtstag haben, das ist ja eigentlich, das ist ja eigentlich fast schon ein Witz. Also das ist ja schon zu schön, um wahr zu sein und ja, talk about destiny, ne, sagt man so schön.
So ist
klar,
es.
Muss nicht heißen, dass daraus auch dann ein erfolgreiches Business wird, aber da passt irgendwie alles zusammen.
Aber falls doch, Boris, ne?
Falls doch.
Heard it here first.
Ja.
Also falls Elon Musk das hier mit Deserto macht, genau. Dann ist das auf jeden Fall auf diese Folge zurückzuführen.
Ja. Falls Elon Musk bei uns zuhört, meinst du?
Ja, klar.
So, ja,
ich glaube, er hört, bei den englischen Folgen hört er mal mit.
Ja, stimmt, ja. Ja, da hast du recht. Das kann sehr gut möglich sein, ja.
Gut. Ich glaube, wir dürfen gar nicht mehr so lange quatschen, weil ich glaube, wir haben auch ganz schön überzogen.
Ach, mein Gott, es gab viel
wenn
zu besprechen.
Wenn der Adrian erstmal losgelegt hat, konnte man ihn ja gar nicht mehr bremsen. Deswegen,
aber es hat
uns
gelohnt.
Auf jeden Fall. Boris, was wollen wir noch nach draußen irgendwie kommunizieren?
Wir wollen auf jeden Fall kommunizieren, das, was wir immer kommunizieren, dass die Leute uns sehr gerne teilen. Also unsere Folgen teilen, uns weiterempfehlen, uns abonnieren. Du weißt doch, was ich meine. Sagen, wie sie die Folge fanden, was sie gut fanden, was sie schlecht fanden. Dafür sind wir auch immer sehr offen und empfänglich. Und
und auf jeden Fall auch, ob sie was gelernt haben.
Ja,
wer
stimmt.
Bei der Folge heute nichts gelernt hat, sorry, der hat nicht richtig hingehört. Ja. Das ist nicht unsere Schuld.
Wenn ihr euch nicht für Nachhaltigkeit schon interessiert, dann habt ihr ein bisschen Bio-Unterricht heute wenigstens nachgeholt.
Aber
zwar nur auf Englisch, aber egal.
Gut, Boris, bis zum nächsten Mal.
Moritz, danke dir. Ciao.